Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
I remember these books from childhood, these thin little books for children, simply illustrated, telling the Bible stories in a simple way that I, a small child, could understand. Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a collection of some of those arch books. It's called Arch Books Treasury, Life of Jesus. It contains 12 arch books in a commemorative hardcover format that detail Jesus' life from his birth to his resurrection. Now, these have been trusted resources for parents and Sunday school teachers. They tell the important Bible studies in that language and in that illustration that children can easily receive and remember. That's the important part. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Arch Books Treasury, Life of Jesus, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Well, the church has been as rocked as any other institution by the COVID virus, and it's not over. But when it is finally over, what are the lessons that we as Christians, as individuals, and as congregations need to learn from this about worship, about serving our community, about recognizing the needs of our neighbors? What kind of lessons can we learn from COVID? Joining us to answer some of those questions, Dr. Steve Shave. He's director of Urban and Intercity Mission and Church Planting for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a column for the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Witnessing During a Global Crisis. Dr. Shave, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Before we begin, you have worked in urban and intercity ministry for some time. What's your reaction to the protests, the riots, and the general social unrest in our cities?
Yeah, I think my reaction, either as a Christian or in my position or just as a citizen in the city, it's just heartbreak. It's heartbreaking to see what led up to the events recently. It's hard to see also what's happened since, and I think heartbreaking is the initial reaction. But in terms of my work in urban inner city ministry, I would just ask that people would think of this incarnationally. And by that, I mean, it's so easy for us to just be detached, to think of these as pixels on a screen or sound bites that you hear in the news, but to really consider how these are real people that are hurting, that are angry. It's so easy from any side to look at this and easily to dehumanize this or to just write this off. And so Satan understands that there's only one way, there's only one place where humanity is going to be united, where hearts are going to be changed, where a nation is going to be healed. And it's just interesting to me that after all this kind of distancing and being stuck at home, how we haven't been able to be the gathered people of God. And that's really what God has intended for us to be that one body, so that when that pinky toe is hurting, that whole body reaches down to bring comfort. And so that's kind of my reaction, to think of this in terms of real people. I think of all the folks that I have met in our inner cities. I think about the children who I was able to minister to, even in our own child care center, and how I would think not in terms of just pixels on a screen, but who might be the next George Floyd? Who might be the next police officer killed in the line of duty there to protect? And what can I do individually as a Christian to make a difference? And more than that, just as another person that loves their brothers and sisters in Christ. So my initial reaction is really to think of this in terms of how we are truly the body of Christ that are to be joined together.
What positive steps have scattered Christians taken during this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it can't be denied. I mean, some people have said that this could lead up to a new great awakening because this gives us an opportunity as Christians like never before. It's opened up some new channels. You know, you think about social media, it's just filled with selfies and negative things, and it just kind of divides us. And yet, at the same time, here you see these Christians that are flooding social media in the time of stay at home with what does this look into Christian communities look like, sacred songs and teaching and all that. And so it's good that it's given us some new channels. So I've been very encouraged to see how so many of our Christian organizations and congregations have been able to change gears to help people in these new needs that they have been seeing, but at the same time, being able to witness to others. At the same time, even though it's been great to open up these new channels, we still recognize that all this is pointing us back to bringing people together, back into community, back to receiving the feast of the High Lamb. So we want to constantly be looking at not only how this is going to help us to reach others, but how does it bring them into the life of the church?
How has this pandemic tended to refocus congregations on the need of their neighbors?
Yeah, one of the things that the crisis has caused is just kind of a massive intensification of our existing sins. So, for example, as you can imagine, somebody who's suffering from an addiction, the worst possible thing is to put them into isolation. Or when you think about the tensions in families and domestic violence, there are so many things now that have just been intensified. When you think about all the people then who are out of work, it's also helped us to refocus and find these issues that may have been underlying but really have been intensified. So congregations need to refocus their attention on the mental health aspect of how this is going to affect people in trauma and grief, the social issues, whether it's addiction or employment. It's giving us a new opportunity to see how we as the church can serve our neighbor.
You say that many in our society are considering their own mortality for the first time. Why is that actually a good thing?
Yeah, it's just been amazing. When you think about, we hear so many times about the nuns who don't have a religious affiliation and atheists and how they're so antagonistic towards the church. But then in a lot of my meetings, I'm sure you've heard plenty of surveys and everything that's coming from this as well, but it is really obvious that this has gotten the attention of a lot of people, even outside the church. The nuns who have started to open up their Bibles, even atheists have said that they are trying to pray. And I can't help but think of that Gravity movie where the astronaut is knowing that she's going to die that particular day, and she asks for somebody to pray for her soul, and she says, "I wish I could pray. Would you teach me to pray?" And so the good thing of this is that when all of our foundation is sand, you've built your pillar around the government and science and medicine, and that's where your salvation is going to come from, a crisis like this just shows you all these false idols, and it rocks your world. But at the same time, it's leading you back to God. And so people that want to pray, people that are opening up their Bibles, for the church, this is our time to reach out to folks and let them know that God is still present with us. God forgives. He wants us to join with other Christians to pray, to gather around His Word, and also to be in worship with one another. So in terms of it being a good thing, it's just that this really has gotten many, many people's attention.
The economic effects of the pandemic have been and, of course, will be devastating. Where does the church begin to help address the needs that are there?
Yeah, I think like anything else, when you're looking at what are the needs, you need to do it in a collaborative way. You need to work together with your community to find out where is your fit with all of this. I don't think the basic needs that people are already dealing with, I don't think that's going to go away. So I think there's still plenty of opportunities to just look at what are those basic needs that people have right now. But also the church can consider what are the long-term effects of this to our families, to people that are going to be dealing with unemployment for the long term. How do we as a church help get people back on their feet? How do we make an impact in our community, and how do we do it working collaboratively with others in the community?
At the same time, hostility, it seems, toward Christianity and Christians seems to be at an all-time high in our country, at least within our memory. How should we as Christians respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, I don't think I ever envisioned a day when people who are just there to give aid would be under scrutiny, when they would be kind of persecuted and have hostility towards them. But I can't help but think of Joseph there in the Old Testament. When you think about how Joseph in Egypt was betrayed by his own, wrongly accused, he was even enslaved, but at the same time, how he knew the famine would come on his nation, and when it came, he opened up the storehouse. And for us as Christians, we also have to understand, just as Joseph did, what others meant for evil, God can mean for good. And so we need to open the storehouse. We need to show mercy. We need to show love. We need to show forgiveness. We need to love our enemies, even those who have persecuted us. Christ told us that this is what would happen. But we continue to serve God and to, again, show good to those, even the ones who have shown hostility towards the church, that they would know Christ and his love.
It is possible, Dr. Shave, that things may become more difficult before they become easier for all of us on this front. How should we respond?
Yeah, I think we need to continue to stay strong, keep the faith, to understand that everything that happens, it's not a surprise to us as Christians, whether it's persecution, suffering, whether it is the social ills of the world. God has told us that all of these things will happen. And yet what we know and what we have to offer is that we don't have anything to fear. Christ has conquered over sin and death. Christ has joined us together by his blood to be one. All of the things that we face in uncertain times, our response is one of faith and of love, one of contentment, one of joy, one of continually reaching out to our neighbors. So really, even if things get more difficult, we know the end of the story. We know that this is what God has told us will happen, even in the end times. But we also know that Christ crucified, risen again, ascended, he now reigns upon his throne, and he promises that he will come again, and that the last tear will be wiped from our eyes, and that we will be joined together. So we don't need to live in fear, frustration. We can live in contentment and joy.
Finally, you mentioned earlier, and you say that there is potential for the church to grow post-coronavirus. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting. As the director of church planning, I've kind of looked over the life of the church in the LCMS, and I've seen all of the great mission work that's happened, whether it's kind of cross-cultural ministries or moving from one demographic to the other. But one of the things that kind of fascinated me is that when things seem to be most challenging, I mean, you think about how we as a nation have gone through two world wars, we went through the Spanish flu, we went through the Depression, and then at the end of it, how the LCMS actually saw some of its greatest mission activity in our history after going through all these things. So you look at the 1950s, and it just fascinates me that Lutheran church planting and mission work actually made the cover of Time magazine, of all things. So it's just like in Scripture. I mean, all the great cataclysms that, you know, affected not just nationally, but even globally, you see the promises of God. You see God's people, after the promises are given, they establish the altar, they call on God's name and witness to the whole world around them. And no matter what the storms were, no matter how the people were exiled, God always brings them back. And even when you think about the exiles, they weren't just given to bide their time. God called upon them to be good citizens, no matter where they have been placed, to be witnesses to those even who have persecuted and attacked them as God's people, and how God continually uses that. So, I mean, it's easy for us to fall into despair and say, wow, these are really dark, latter days, maybe this is just the end of the world, and, you know, I just want to hunker down. But what also is interesting is how Martin Luther, right, when he was asked, you know, what would you do if you knew the world was going to end tomorrow? He says, I'd plant a tree, you know, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to keep plowing the fields with these acts of mercy. We're called to keep planting the seeds of the gospel and to continue to love our neighbor and just trust that God is that Lord of the harvest for this abundant yield, and that no matter who seeks to shut us down, whether it's the devil himself, we know that the church can continue to even grow in these difficult, difficult days ahead because God ultimately is the Lord of harvest.
Dr. Steve Shave is Director of Urban and Inner City Mission and Church Planting for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column for the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Witnessing During a Global Crisis. Learn more about the Lutheran Witness magazine at cph.org/witness or call 1-800-325-3040. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.
Next, it's our feature this week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. We'll be talking about Hillsong's Brian Houston speaking in tongues.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Ad Crucem is home to numerous artists dedicated to producing high-quality Christian products. From Edrio Haas's paintings of biblical narratives, to Kelly Clage's Lutheran-themed jewelry, to Scapegoat Studio's liturgical banners, we strive to embody St. Paul's statement, "I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Whether you're a part-time hobbyist or a full-time creator, Ad Crucem is interested in supporting your Christ-focused products. Please contact info@adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio; Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; Mount Olive Lutheran, Cleveland Heights, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington; St. Mark Lutheran, Waco, Texas; St. Timothy Lutheran, Dayton, Ohio; and Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.